You're listening to 90.3 KFAI FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, online and archived at kfai.org.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Hallucination.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, Hitney Cuff, baby.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, want to give a shout out to AM 950, Civic Media for running our show all over Turtle Island. We really appreciate your support. And I want to get going right here because we have our friend Gary Farmer on here, and we're going to talk about an event. Gary, welcome to Native Roots Radio again. And I just got to say, we are so blessed here to have you. And prior last week, we had Dr. Evan Adams on too. So we just appreciate the good feelings and good vibes from you too. And thank you so much for coming on.
You bet. That was curious to discuss big time health issues with Evan, or as you talk mostly about performance?
Both. And we definitely, Gary, we talked to him as a doctor at first, and especially he was in Hawaii doing doctor stuff. And I know when he was up here in the Twin Cities, he was talking about retiring, but he's still not retiring from being a doctor, which we really appreciate and need. And it's just phenomenal to have him on and talk about the both ends, too. We had our young producer ask a few questions, too, and, you know, how he, channeled certain aspects of a lot of his performances too. So we had him on for three quarters of the show, which we were truly blessed.
Yeah. With some years ago, when we were all younger, I produced a television show for the Aboriginal People's Television Network up in Canada. And I kind of, used the concept of Johnny Carson, I grew up with Johnny Carson. So I did kind of a Native version of that. And my first primary host was Evan. And Evan was in medical school at the time, and he used to give these wonderful monologues. You know, we'd spend all week writing a monologue for him, and then he'd come in and just improvise a monologue about birthing a child for the first time. You know, it was pretty special.
Well, he did talk about when he first met you, how intimidated he was of you. And that was the first time I ever heard him say that. And then as time went on in the filming of Smoke Signals, he really learn to love you and lifelong friends. And I know you really care about him and he cares about you. And that's so cool after all these years. And with your long career as a musician, a radio person, an actor, still having connections with a movie that means so much to so many people, but also in your life, it was, 2 months of filming? It was really a short time.
Yeah, well, we used to take a little bit more time with shooting back then and before the turn of the century. And, technology's really taken over the industry, so it's a lot shorter commitment, which is maybe not a bad thing, So it's streamlined a lot, which is always savings for everyone who's investing in that kind of business. So it's an interesting challenge and all around, no matter what creative endeavor you take on.
Well, I'm excited to have you on because one of the things, I don't know if you know this, but Native Roots Radio has a family-owned business at the Minnesota State Fair called Native Roots Trading Post. And right behind us, no more than 50 yards away, is a amphitheater. And they asked me about who they could bring in. And I mentioned you two guys to come in. And I'm so happy to hear that you're going to be at the Minnesota State Fair. That's going to be jam-packed with people. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I'd love to talk about your treks as a musician, because I've had the opportunity to see you many times. As a matter of fact, something came up. I think it was Winona LaDuke's birthday party. I saw you jamming on the stage there about 5 years ago, too. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, you know, it's always been an outlet for me, I guess, as an actor. I worked on stage for so many years, and I may come back to Minneapolis to work on stage in the near future, which is a little hopeful concern, because I always loved the theater first. And live music was just an extension of that. I've always played the harmonica since I was a teenager, and I just applied that to whoever would have me on their stage for years. But the interesting thing is, I used to do a lot of 50 blues cover material, and still do. People love that material from those days. And, but I started writing songs maybe 20 years ago, and it's really, been 20 years of songwriting, which is really, it's been a blessing for me in so many different ways, to express myself creatively. Outside of, a script I've been given, or a theater play that I study for months before producing it. So it's just a wonderful creative outlet, and it keeps me in wonderful performance shape doing live music. So I just love it to death.
How long have you known Keith Cicola? We're talking about, let me say this, Gary Farmer is going to be playing at the Minnesota State Fair on the 30th and the 1st. The 31st and the 1st, I'm sorry. And he's going to be with a blues rocker, Keith Cicola, and the Rangers, and he's the special guest. And it'll be down at the West End Market at the Minnesota Great Get-Together. How long have you known Keith?
Oh, I'd say at least 25, 30 years. I used to book and tour. I remember we did a tour at the turn of the century. I think it was 2000, because I was into securing radio networking. I was getting large urban radio licenses in Canada. And we were just celebrating the launch of 106.5 in Toronto. Aboriginal Voices Radio at the time, and we did a tour. And so I had known Keith at least 10, 15 years before the turn of the century. Certainly, I remember Keith, lobbying to, have Indian cars in Powell Highway, which seemed like a natural fit, but you can't fault the producers for bringing Robbie into the project, and Robbie Robertson, and, from the band, and literally kind of bringing Robbie home after that. So that was intriguing, because Robbie's famous quote is, about his Indianness, you got to be careful who you tell. That little history. So Keith has been a part of my life for over 40 years, I guess, in the end.
Yeah. So how often do you get out to perform? I know I was trying to get you to say hello to Dr. Adams, and you were performing that night. So you get out there and perform a lot?
Well, I'm either doing animation voiceovers, or I'm doing a short film for a young director, or I'm doing a feature film for someone I've worked with for many years off and on, or I'm doing an episode of The Lowdown with Sterling Harjo. So, it's been a pretty hectic schedule in recent times, and the music just fills the creative void when I'm not doing those other performances.
Do you mind holding on for a 2-minute break and doing another maybe half a segment with us? I know you're very busy. Do you mind holding on with us for another segment?
No, not at all. Thank you.
Well, Gary, I really appreciate you coming on, and we're going to take a quick break. We're with the great Gary Farmer, our friend and musician, artist, entrepreneur, voiceover actor. We're just great to have you on. We're going to talk some more about him and Keith Sokola being at the Minnesota State Fair, and also talking about his music endeavors. This is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us. Ho-wa.
To our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come, we are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us, thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time, starting in 1492.
To those who have kept their homelands, and to the nations extinct due to mass slaughter, slavery, deportation, and disease unknown to them, and to the ones who are subjected to the same treatment today.
To the ones who survived the relocations and the ones who died along the way.
To those who carried on traditions and lived strong among their people.
To those who left their communities by force or by choice and through generations no longer know who they are.
To those who search and never find, to those that turn away the so-called non-accepted, to those that bring us together, and to those living outside, keeping touch, the voice for many.
To those that make it back to live and fight the struggles of their people, to those that give up and those who do not care, to those who abuse themselves and others, and those who revive again, to those who are physically, mentally, or spiritually incapable by accident or by birth,
to those who seek strength in our spirituality and ways of life, and those who exploit it, even our own.
To those who fall for the lies and join the dividing lines that keep us fighting amongst each other.
To the outsiders who step in, good or bad, and those of us who don't know better.
To the leaders and prisoners of war, politics, crime, race, and religion, innocent or guilty.
To the young, the old, the living, and the dead,
to our brothers and sisters and all living things across Mother Earth,
and her beauty we've destroyed and denied the honor that the Creator has given each individual.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Robert Pilot, and we are with our friend Gary Farmer, actor, musician, all-around great guy, stopping in. Gary, we always talk about the next seven generations, and I want to bring on my young producer to and have her come on and ask you a question. And Misko, come on and introduce yourself in a good way.
Bonjour, Misko, give me one additional cause. Hi, Gary. My name is Misko. I'm in my mid-20s. I just started working with Robert in media, so that's newspaper with the Circle News and Native Roots Radio. I actually had a conversation with you a few years ago, probably around 2020 or 2021. I used to work at the Minneapolis American Indian Center, and so that was super fun, and so I'm just grateful to have the opportunity to talk to you and Dr. Adams, you know, through the show, but super inspired by you guys all the time.
Good, good. Well, you know, you got to continue telling the stories, as they're really important and interesting. You know, I thought about this a lot, but when you think about it, even our urban communities, our rural communities back on the res, and certainly in the urban regions, there are sections of towns, especially someplace like Seattle and major cities, where the Native community is very strong. And how do we get news and information to them, you know, especially in terms of reservation life, you know, the information they're getting that reflects their reality is so little. You know, they don't get information, maybe a tribal newspaper, maybe, but, you know, so that was the effort in my time, was to try to get news and information and entertainment, you know, because now these days the musical expression of indigenous people is like worldwide. I mean, you should hear some of the music coming from New Zealand over history. Actually, they probably have some of the longest, the Maori, some of the longest recording history. So bringing that music kind of back to the people in a world music fashion, world indigenous music fashion, was always my dream.
Wow, that's great. That's awesome. Misko, do you have another question? I always get, when I see Mr. Farmer around, when he's in the cities and stuff like that, I get nervous, and because I look up to Gary and being such a trailblazer for Native actors in the community. I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, I guess another question I have is, what did you do when maybe there wasn't as much opportunities as a Native actor, maybe growing, you know, into your role as a musician or an actor, or just even in the media to get your voice heard? What did you do to, you know, possibly open more doors in that?
My experience was all theatrical in the beginning for the first 13 years, but in that period, it was an interesting period because, you know, I grew up in Niagara Falls in Buffalo, New York. You know, I moved to Toronto after my third year of university, went to school there for a while, and then started, you know, one of the first opportunities out of school I got was in the, you know, teaching young Native people, you know, to be in the theater, to be actors, to tell stories, to develop scripts. And so that's where all my experience came from, was a specific program for Indigenous people, though it was all non-Native trainers at the time, the British trained theatrical people. And I just fell in love with the process, you know, when I realized, oh, geez, this is how I can help, you know, retelling some history, historic stories, maybe in a comic manner, much like Punch and Judy or you know, Monty Python style, you know, so you, and then the study of clown, you know, was magical for me, you know, which I can see a lot of that study coming out in a character like Filbert, you know, trying to, you know, have that innocence of Filbert Bono. So, you know, the experience of training and growing up in the theater as an actor, as a young actor, is the way to go to be a, you know, because you want to be able to work all the regions, you know, both radio. We used to do a lot more radio theater in my youth. And then, so that was always a decent check from, you know, a national broadcaster like CBC in my day. But, you know, and then the television stuff. And when the Americans came to Canada, you know, having grown up in the States, I had a little bit different accent. You know, I didn't sound so Canadian to them. So that's how I started breaking into cinema, was just being at the right place in the right time, you know, really.
Well, that's very cool. Hey, I have our next guest, Arvina Martin, on, and I wanted to have her give an opportunity. She's our political consultant out of Wisconsin. Give her the opportunity to say hello. Arvina, welcome. Always to Native Roots Radio. And what do you have to say to Gary?
Hi.
Hi, Arvina.
It's great to see you. I was lucky enough to meet you 1 year, probably about 20 years ago-ish, when you came out to the Dartmouth College powwow in Hanover, New Hampshire. And I was, I'm an alum of Dartmouth, and I was head dancer that year and was super stoked to see you. And you were gracious enough to take a picture with me and my sister. Do I have time to ask a question?
Yes, go ahead. Yeah. Gary's got just a few more minutes, but go for it.
And I guess, I'm wondering, like, looking maybe 15, 20 years down the road, like, what are things that you are seeing now that like are that you think are going to like bear fruit in the longer in terms of like Native artists making music, whether it is like, you know, there's a certain style of music that you think is going to be popular or, you know, new ways of just what are you excited for in like the more long range future when it comes to Native artists and hitting the mainstream, et cetera? It's a very broad question.
Well, you know, to tell you the truth, I mean, to be honest, the longer I live, the less I'm interested in the mainstream. What I'd like to do is to create our own stream. You know, I was very involved with licensing the Aboriginal People's Television Network, which put our content on tier one, along with, you know, in Canada, the national broadcaster CBC, which is, you know, government controlled at some level. And then also the free-spirited CTV. Those are two of the national. So we're right up there with those. And so that's had a pretty phenomenal impact when you think we did it at the turn of the century. And I always, you know, the signal in that particular network goes all the way down to Central America, Ecuador, wow. Actually. That's the strength of their signal there. So then you see something like First Nations experience blossoming out of, you know, Southern California with the tribe there. And you know, we can see that station here in New Mexico at 329 or something. But, you know, we need that to expand. And I thought some kind of amalgamation between what FNX is doing and what APTN is doing to start securing some audience. Because in my view, they used television to brainwash the people, so they didn't even need the church anymore. They used television, right? Because they can consumerize the population very fast, right? And then you can go and negotiate for whatever you need from those people, like plutonium or, you know, whatever, uranium, you know, right. Et cetera. So the stronger, and you got to realize that television puts your mind into beta, which means you just become a receiver of information. So it's basically a contemporary form of brainwashing. So to me, I feel like as Indigenous people, our job should be to brainwash America and the people in living in the country back to nature is first, you know, like earth first rather than profits, you know. So that's what my strategy as a younger artist. And I still believe, you know, that has potential.
Wow. What a great answer, Gary. What a great answer. Hey, Gary, we only got a minute left here. And I just want to talk about you being at the Minnesota State Fair with Keith Sekola on the 31st. That's going to be really exciting. The 31st and 1st down at the West End Market. Stop by Native Roots Trading Post and go see Gary.
Yeah, for sure. I actually wrote a song just a few weeks ago, and I knew I was going to appear at the State Fair. And so I actually wrote a lyric that refers to the State Fair that we'll be playing. I hope the band is favorable to executing that song at least one of the evenings.
That's great. Well, I plan on being there both evenings, and it's always great to have you on, and I really appreciate you spending time with us here on Native Roots Radio and, you know, spending time here in Minnesota and talking to the young actors like you do, and all, I'm sure you do that all over Turtle Island. You've been giving back for so many years, and we just really appreciate you here on Native Roots Radio and all over Turtle Island.
Okay, thanks so much, everyone.
Great to see you. Thanks. Hey, up next, our friend Arvina Martin here. And we're going to be talking, she is our political consultant. Arvina, you can tell I'm a little tongue-tied now here. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us. Ho-wa.
Bonjour, bonjour. This year, the third edition of 24 Hours of Frenchness will take place on Saturday, August 22nd, 2026. Still on KFAI FE2, you can get to it through KFAI.org. 24 hours of French programming with different genres, themes, and guests from midnight to midnight. The schedule will be posted on BonjourMinnesota.com. À bientôt!
Ho-ho! This is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka, hey-cha, wait-cha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Robert Pilot. Hey, we have our friend Arvina Martin, our political consultant, coming right out of Wisconsin. And before you give us an update, Arvina, we got a couple things going on here in Minnesota I just want to touch base with you on. And one of them is that Governor Walz today he visited Ely, Minnesota, and he did an executive action protecting the Boundary Waters Canoe Area, the BWCAW, protecting the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. And so he just did a executive order 2610. So applause to, I got to hit the applause button for Governor Walz. And then also too, there's crazy stuff going on in here in Minnesota, but let's talk about what's happening in Wisconsin and what's happening nationally. It's great to see you. It's been a couple of weeks. Thank you so much for coming on Native Roots Radio.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, so hey, hey, you're welcome. Show's over.
Hey.
I was texting Misko, and we're both still a little starstruck, even though I've met Gary a dozen times. I've always starstruck with him.
He just has that aura, and he's so like personable and friendly too. And he doesn't, you know, make you feel weird or for fan girl or boying or fan theming, which is always appreciated. Cause I feel like when we get to that point where we're like fangirling, sometimes we act a little silly and a little weird, and then we are embarrassed. And he handles it with grace and aplomb.
Yes, definitely. Hey, so what have you been doing? What are you up to? What's happening? You know, what's happening all over Turtle Island and in Wisconsin? Because we love giving updates because, you know, we're on civic media all over Wisconsin. So it's great to have you, as always, to give that other perspective as our political consultant here on Native Roots Radio.
Yeah. So last week I was down in Austin, Texas for the latest meeting of the DNC. And actually there was a lot of work that happened, and there were a lot of good things that came out of this meeting, including one of the things that was approved by the DNC members was a resolution by the member from Montana, Donovan Hawk, who is also a member of their state legislature. And he had written a resolution that, you know, I sponsored, as well as other members of the Native Caucus and other folks, that would, you know, encourage state parties that have significant Native populations to hire staff that are Native from those communities to engage them in the political process. And that passed easily. And I think that is a great recognition of the growing power of the Native electorate across the country. Our votes really matter in a lot of states. You know, the population of Native voters in Wisconsin, in Michigan, in Minnesota, you know, can absolutely change the results of a race. Especially, you know, we are fairly purple states, and so, you know, the way Native people vote could actually very much swing these elections. And I am grateful for Donovan's work on this, because again, the recognition of the importance of Native people as voters and as constituents to elected officials, and that the issues that matter to us are important, and elected officials and candidates have to pay attention to what we are saying to help us accomplish the things that we need to accomplish for the good of our tribes, for the good of our communities, you know, even outside of tribal boundaries. You know, lots of tribes are able to help, you know, other communities nearby that are not necessarily tribal. I know that when I worked for the Ho-Chunk Nation legislature, you know, we provided funding for a brand new command vehicle for the Toma Fire Department. Mm-hmm. You know, we are good partners, and we deserve the kind of partnership needs to come back to us as well. You know, we do good by our communities, and the federal government, the government needs to do good by us. Our elected officials need to take notice of the things that are troubling us, things that are happening that are historic wrongs that need to be righted. And, you know, the DNC also took another step towards, you know, acknowledging and the power of Native voters when we voted to change the primary schedule. So as you may know, as folks know, you know, we always talk about New Hampshire and Iowa. You know, those are the first. You know, but they have an outsized impact on presidential races because mm-hmm. it they are very homogenous and very right. very white. Mm-hmm. So you know, the argument that those that the opinions of and votes of those two states might not necessarily be representative of different kinds of people, different areas of the country, people with different backgrounds, economic situations, et cetera. And so the party voted to change our primary schedule. And the first state that will be voting for a Democratic candidate will be South Carolina. Wow. And after that, will be have primaries in Nevada, New Hampshire, and this is the big one that makes me really, really happy is New Mexico. Yes. And New Mexico, as we know, has a substantial Native population. Mm-hmm. So for the first time, Native voters are going to be some of the first voters and help shape, you know, the candidacy, what candidate's message is the most, you know, germane or speaks to us the best. And this is a first, and it's a really big deal. And then after that, the primaries will be, Michigan and Virginia. So there's geographic diversity in those mm-hmm. states. There is ethnic diversity in those states. And like I said, you know, substantial population of Native people and the Native population of Michigan is not anything, you know, to ignore either. Right. You know, there might not be as many kind of percentage wise as there are in New Mexico, but you know, they are a force and it's really exciting to know that presidential candidates are going to have to pay attention to our ideas for policy, our hopes and wants and needs for things that make things easier and support our families and support our communities, preserving, you know, our cultural heritage, our languages, our health, and the land where we live, that's an amazing thing that has just happened, and I'm really excited that Native issues and Native policies are going to be coming to the forefront early on in this next presidential campaign.
That's so awesome, too. And hopefully we can have something like the Lemire first ever Native American presidential. I believe it was a debate, and it was in Iowa, and I think one was in California, too. And we were live in Iowa and got to meet everybody that was running for president one way or another. And one of the things I want to just back up and say, too, you were talking about kind of how government to government works and how the Ho-Chunk people really take care of the community, whether they're supporting with a fire engine. I want to remind everyone how unbelievable Ho-Chunk was in Wisconsin when it came to the vaccine and giving it the COVID vaccine, when, because people forget there was no vaccine at first, and it was really serious with COVID, and the tribe was very welcoming to the communities.
Oh, absolutely. And I have to shout out my sister Kiana Bodine, who was the director of health at the time. And yeah. I don't know if you remember going to those vaccine clinics, but they were so well run. Mm-hmm. They were so efficient. And I also remember that it was really exciting to like see people, you know, your loved ones that you haven't seen all since everything started. And right. You wanted to hug them, but you still had to stay 6 feet apart and everything. But they were so well run. And I remember when the news hit that they were going to, that the nation was offering vaccines to Wisconsin residents. I believe at first it was for elders, right. Who weren't able to get them. I was getting phone calls and messages like on Facebook or other social media, Instagram, et cetera, from friends that I had grown up with or high school friends that are not Native that were like, is this true? Can I send my parents there? You know? So that remains such an incredible impact. And it kind of jumps to, you know, the whole Tom Tiffany of it all, who is the Republican candidate for governor, who clearly doesn't believe in tribal sovereignty. You know, I've mentioned it before, but he, you know, used his time when the Judiciary Committee was grilling Pam Bondi on the Epstein files. Instead of asking questions about that, he, you know, he distracted and started to talk about Lac du Flambeau and the issue with the roads, and tried to paint Lac du Flambeau as some big mean entity that was, you know, harming these poor people that just happened to live there when, you know, the town didn't do its due diligence, the title companies didn't do their due diligence, and it was not like, it's not Lac du Flambeau's fault, and they were protecting their sovereignty by you know, closing off the roads. And you know, we see that tribes are not the big scary thing that Tom Tiffany tries to present. You know, we are people that believe in our communities and that we need to help each other out. And there are many, many times, like the one that we just mentioned that you brought up about the Ho-Chunk Nation's vaccines, we support the communities where we live. And we support the people that live in those communities, because those are the communities where we live as well, you know? And when all of us do better, all of us do better, you know?
Yeah.
And so we're looking out for each other. You know, Tom Tiffany can paint us and tribes as some big, mean, scary thing that are out to get all the non-natives, or, you know, say that we have special rights or whatever, but we know that we are not.
Yes. Hey, this is Native.
We're viable and wonderful members of our communities, and we give so much.
Absolutely. Hey, we're here with Arvina Martin, our political consultant directly from Madison, Wisconsin. Hey, and we're going to take a quick break. This is Native Roots Radio. Ho-wa.
Hi, it's Dr. Evan Adams, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. Hey, Victor, you better be listening.
In this portion of the show, we'd like to bring awareness to our wolf and bear populations throughout Turtle Island. Say no to the hunts.
Oh!
Hey, Welcome back to Native Roots Radio. Hey, I got to just tell everybody real quick, right after Native Roots Radio here locally on AM 950, Indian Collective does a show right after us twice a month, and they're going to have an interview they had with Leonard Peltier. And I know Indian Collective had a lot to do with Leonard getting out of prison and also helping him when he came out. So I'm really looking forward to listening to that. That's again right after Native Roots Radio here on AM 950 locally. Hey, we are with our friend Arvina Martin. Much more to talk about. We've really missed you. Thank you so much for coming on. Great to see you. And what else do you got going on there in Wisconsin and nationally? Minnesota is hanging tough. I just want to mention that our lieutenant governor did a fantastic job of wiping out by over 20% Angie Craig. And what I want to say about Angie Craig is I couldn't believe the great, not acceptance speech, but defeat speech or condolence speech was amazing. And I just want
concession.
To give her a quick thank you, concession.
Yeah.
Concessions, thanks. I want to just give her some flowers and a shout out for that and keeping the Democratic Party united.
Yeah. So, last week you guys had primaries and we did as well in Wisconsin, and we had a real nail biter and for the top of the ticket. And we have our nominee for governor is David Crowley. He is the county exec for Milwaukee County, and he has done some pretty great things in Milwaukee County in terms of, especially in terms of like greening the whole county. And I know that they are ahead of schedule in terms of things, new clean sources of energy, et cetera. He's fantastic. And I know that he has a great relationship with Forest County Pottawatomie. And I know that he actually gave his State of the County address last year. I believe it was last year Forest County's not in Forest County, but one of their facilities. He is somebody who, believes in tribal sovereignty. And, as I said before, we know his opponent, Tom Tiffany, does not. And, this is a really crucial time for all of us to get together. I saw so many Native people supporting candidates in the primary, and that made my heart really happy because it was showing that folks are involved. It was showing that people care about who our leaders are, and that we have to take stock and really assess who we want to be in charge of our state. And, as always, it's a bummer if your candidate loses the primary. But you mentioned it with Angie Craig. Coming together now is so important because we have the stakes are so high. And the stakes are high, not just at the governor's level, that race, but we are working on congressional candidates. Rebecca Cook winning in the race to take on Derek Van Orden, who is the congressman that yells at children in libraries and yells at the page staff in the halls of Congress. And he's not somebody that should be representing anyone, let alone an entire congressional district. And then we need to think about the state legislatures, the two houses of the state legislature. We have all of our state assembly candidates up for reelection and half of our state Senate. So pay attention to who is running in your community. And we really need to have Democrats in charge of both houses to give us a trifecta so we can actually pass and enact progressive common sense legislation that are going to help the working class people, the people that go to work every day, and is not catered to helping the Elon Musks of this world. You know, the things that are happening at the federal level are absolutely affecting us here at the state level. And we need to do everything that we can to be one of those, like a roadblock to block the effects of these things that are happening at the national level and protect our resources. We need to be, you know, I'm so happy to hear about Governor Walz's executive order regarding the boundary waters. You know, we need to be protecting our Great Lakes, our at the Mississippi River. We need to be protecting those things. And we know that AI data centers are going to be coming and trying to build on what they see as empty land. And they may come to tribes. I'm sure they will come to tribes and try to wheel and deal, thinking, you know, going back even to like the 17, 1800s with the idea that helped, you know, settlers across the country just take land, the idea of terra nullius, that if there's nothing happening on that land, then it's up for grabs. And I feel like we are seeing a new era of this terra nullius idea coming back. And we as Native people know that these lands are important, even if we are not as human beings using them in the way that, you know, for economic development or what have you. We know the importance of these lands that need to be left alone so that we can, you know, animal populations can continue to flourish and grow. We can take animals off in the endangered species list so that we can protect these waterways because, you know, global warming is happening, folks. Right. And water is going to be, you know, in the future is going to be a very, very precious resource. And we do not need to be wasting it on more data centers, et cetera. For, again, golf courses in Arizona.
Yeah. And just, yeah, where there's no water, you know, that's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy. Well, you know, I just love listening to you too. One is your passion, but also your truth too, is that we need to be united. And I think what I want to say about Wisconsin especially is that the process worked. In other words, this is a primary and this is the process, and the process worked. The person with the most votes moved on. This is the process.
And you know, I have voted in primaries where my candidate did not win, you know, more than just a couple of times. But that also doesn't mean, just because your candidate didn't win doesn't mean that the things that you care about have been knocked out. You know, I would encourage people to, you know, be in touch with the various campaigns and you know, talk to candidates and talk to their representatives about the things that are important to you, the things that matter and the things that will benefit your community and your life. You know, press folks on these issues. That's how we move the needle, is being vocal. And you know, for us Ho-Chunks, people of the big voice, let's use our voices and make sure electeds are paying attention to us.
Absolutely. What a great way to end the show. I want to give a quick shout out to Gary Farmer, Misko, and of course, our political consultant here, Arvina Martin. If you're listening to this show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on, it's sacred ground.
Programming on KFAI comes in part from the Cedar Cultural Center, presenting the Global Get-Together at the Minnesota State Fair. The Cedar returns to the State Fair's International Bazaar stage for the fourth year of their Global Get-Together. Thursday, September 3rd, Sababa 5 blends Middle Eastern psychedelia mixed with 70s analog groove to the fair. Sababa 5 brings Eastern Mediterranean vibes with surf rock edges and dance-ready rhythms to the International Bazaar stage near the corner of Judson and Underwood. More more information about the Cedars Global Get-Together at the Minnesota State Fair is available at thecedar.org.
In this portion of the show, we'd like to bring awareness to our wolf and bear populations throughout Turtle Island. Say no to the hunts.
Oh!
Oh!
Welcome back. This is Native Roots Radio, and thanks for jumping in there, Misko, with the little howl.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I didn't say this, but I should say this. I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many, many years. And I wanted to say, too, I saw my sister at the Twins game, Mary C., and she was just so enamored with what you did with the Beagles. Mm. She brought that up right away.
Yeah, another update is the last 155 Beagles that were in Riglin are out. They've all been out. The last 155 are mostly younger dogs and puppies. So finally, there are not any more dogs in Riglin Farms in Wisconsin, which was a large breeding facility, and they did experimentations on dogs. So it's closed down.
And you, and she was just so proud of you being there and all the stuff that you and
a lot of
people. It was like 1,000 other people there.
Yeah. There was a lot of people there.
Yeah, it was awesome. I just wanted to bring
I'm so happy it's closed and all the dogs are out. Yeah.
So we got an update. You know, people know us on the street and know when we talk. You know, we used to have a cat that would knock into the door every time it was the sacred animal segment and jump on your lap and
start meowing.
Yeah. And, you know, in our being together, we've had 3 dogs and 2 cats and 2 dogs and 3 cats. And now we are down to no animals,
no
sacred animals at the pilot house, other than all the squirrels and stuff you feed.
Our poor little Wanda, her last day here was Thursday morning, this past Thursday morning. And so everybody knows who listens to the show regularly that she was been sick for quite a few months with a collapsed trachea and an enlarged heart. She was on a lot of medications and she was under veterinarian care, and we were doing the best that we could to keep her as comfortable for as long as we possibly could.
Mm-hmm.
And Thursday morning was bad. She, you know, progressively getting worse. The collapsing trachea is one of those things that just gets worse over time. And, she lasted a lot longer than the vet said or thought she would. So that's a good thing.
How well you took care of her during your time.
Well, you too. We both, you know. We were giving her medications around the clock. We were, you know, doing everything we could to keep her comfortable. But, Thursday morning, we humanely euthanized her. And the house hasn't been the same.
No.
Like Robert said, we've always had multiple animals. And when one passed, we would feel the pain of that, but we'd also have the other animals here to kind of fill the void, but we don't have that this time. So now it's like there's no animals here, and I find myself at least 20 times a day like looking on the floor for her, seeing where she is, seeing, oh, does she have to go out? Is it time for her medications? Like, we had this routine with her for so long that it's like really, really different.
Yeah.
I got out of the shower yesterday and she's usually right there. She would lay on my bath mat and I'd have to say, excuse me, Wanda, excuse me, I need to get out of the shower. And she'd get up and move, but she wasn't there, you know, today.
There's people on social medias, R. Charles, I appreciate it. I'm lighting a special candle for her and for you, Robert and Wendy. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been hard. I think most people, have had an experience like this and it's, you know, it's like losing a family member. You know, she was with us for 9 years. We adopted her as an older dog. Yeah. We weren't quite sure exactly how old she was. Yeah. So we were told, I think she was 8 years old.
At first they need us and then we need them.
Yeah.
Wishing you comfort and peace during this difficult time.
Thank
Love you.
You
guys. And that's from our producer.
Thank you. Yeah, it's tough. You know, she was a funny little dog and, you know, she would like every night we would, you know, sit down on the couch and watch a program or whatever. And she would jump on the couch and she would always go to Robert because Robert was just kind of like
soft.
A softy. Yeah. And she would sit on the side right by him and like jump up on his shoulder and like
talk to me,
like bark and stuff. And, you know, Robert would look at her and say, do you want a treat?
Yeah.
And she would jump and get so excited and run into the kitchen because she knew that, you know, she was getting a treat. Yeah, she was always with us. You know, we brought her. She flew with me all the time. She was a frequent flyer.
Yeah.
She was on the pontoon with us. We traveled. Anytime we went in the car to pick up food or do anything, she was with us. And she was really an integral part of our daily life. Like she was, you know, entwined in every hour of our day. And, you know, normally she'd be sitting here on the floor on this chair cushion that we leave on the floor for her. And the chair cushion is still there.
Yeah, I want it there.
You know, her ramps are still up. Her bed is still there. I don't know, you know, when I'm going to be able to take them down. I do want to get the ramp out of the living room because that's kind of always in my way. So I'll get rid of that one. But,
this is weird.
Like,
and
I kind of hear her sometimes. Like, I'll...
Yeah. Well, I look for her all the time because I don't want to kick her.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you bringing this up. I just wanted to say this before, you know, you can talk a little bit more about her because a lot of people have gone through what we're going through and they really understand. And we just wanted to give an update because we know people have heard her
and
bark.
Ask about her. Yeah. Yeah, they do.
What a name too that she.
She came with that name.
I know.
She came with the name Wanda and she knew that name.
Yeah.
So we couldn't change it.
What would you have changed it to?
I don't know. We would have to probably change it to something close to Wanda or, you know.
Well, she was a Wanda.
She was a Wanda.
That's the thing. It's hilarious.
She was wild. She was a wild girl. I remember taking her to the vet and, you know, on the table, she would like jump off. Like the vet would be like, I'm like, you have to hold her because she's going to jump off this. She thinks she could fly.
Yeah. And she also blew a quad tendon like I did.
Yes, she did. And she had surgery. And I told the vet how wild she was. And the vet experienced her wildness, the orthopedic surgeon. So the orthopedic surgeon, when he repaired her knee and the tendon, put fishing line in. So he said, I'm going to put strong fishing line in, like with that I would use for a German Shepherd. So I was like, okay, yes, do that. And after she healed, like we had to keep her quiet. She broke the fishing line of the German Shepherd. And when we brought her back to the vet and they did the x-ray, they just couldn't believe it. That she did it. Anyway, her leg did heal up because of scar tissue.
Yeah,
and
that was crazy.
And he did repair her knee. So it did work. But she was a wild little girl. You know, she really is. And you know what? She had a great life. And we had a great life with her. And I'm just so grateful that I got to have a dog like her.
Yeah, definitely. That was your puppy. She liked me because she knew that she could play me like a cheap flute. But she loved you.
Yeah, she loved you too.
Hey, thanks again. Hey, I want to say a big peeny geeky to Misko for the great reports.
Yeah, thank you.
And again, we're going to be at the fair and we're going to be talking about that all the way leading up to there. You know, guys, everyone be cool. Be nice to everyone. You know, if you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance from Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on. It's sacred ground. It's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, and vote. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. Pinigi again for listening to Native Roots Radio.
The Halusa Nation. We have been called the Indians.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org, non-commercial community-powered radio.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic, please.
Oh, it's bursting.